Hello and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Oxford City Stars players Joe Edwards and Darren Elliott.
Hello.
So, in simple terms, can you explain to me the aims of ice hockey?
It's 5v5 on the ice at any one time. We roll three lines of five as well, so you get to change pretty quickly. So it's usually like 30 seconds to a minute shifts, so it's pretty high intensity. You kind of go 100% whilst you're on the ice the whole time, so it's pretty tiring. And obviously it's very physical, which I'm sure you're aware. But the aim is to obviously score more goals than the other team, which is in most sports. And yeah, there's a lot of rules around the game to make sure it's high intensity, it's very physical, but it's also as safe as it can be as well.
What got you guys into ice hockey in the first place?
Myself, I used to go and watch the local speedway team, the Oxford Cheetahs, years ago. When my dad had some friends there, and someone said mentioned about coming here and watching the ice hockey. And I was 10 at the time, and then we just got hooked, kind of came along and watched a senior game, obviously the team that we're currently playing for now, and then come to watch a couple of the kids' teams and younger teams playing. Just got hooked ever since, really.
No, I'm a bit younger than Dad, so I used to come watch him play.
Oh.
And yeah, again, we're hooked from, I think I was about 3 years old when I first came to watch. I don't know if you were playing then, but it wasn't far after that. You can't stay away from the place, really, after you've come to watch it once or twice.
Outside of, obviously, your own team, who's your favourite team?
I haven't really got a favourite team. I follow the NHL, obviously, which is over in Canada and America and stuff. I like the Avalanche, Colorado Avalanche, but it's you don't get a great deal of coverage of that league over here, so it's hard to follow, but obviously with the web and stuff, but apart from that, I don't really have a favourite British team, really.
You kind of have to stay up until 2, 3 in the morning to watch a game. That's the problem. I used to be a big fan of Toronto Maple Leafs when I was younger, but the team's changed so quickly over there that, well, not quickly, but over the last 10 years they've evolved and players move and trade and stuff, so it does change a lot, but yeah, I'd have to say Toronto.
If you had the opportunity, would you go over to America or Canada to play?
We turn it down all the time. We turn down the big money contracts and all
the
that
states
to
like
stick
this,
around.
Why would you want to leave?
Yeah. Well, Joe probably does as well, but I know players that have had opportunities to go over at a young age with scholarships and stuff. And a long time ago, there was a chance to sort of maybe go over and try for a scholarship years and years ago, but never sort of took it off. But it cost a lot of money. But now, I mean, if I was young enough still, then I'd love to snap up the opportunity to go and have a go. But it's completely different over there. There's a lot more leagues and setups and stuff. It's completely different to over here. But I think it's every hockey player's dream as a player to go and play in Canada and try and make it big. But it's pretty tough.
Ice rinks out there are like traffic lights here. They're like everywhere. Yeah. Like every mile or something stupid. Yeah. You'll have three teams in one town. So there's just so much ice time available, which isn't available in the UK, especially.
It's a big saying, isn't it? In Canada, hockey players are born with skates on their feet. So nine times out of ten, they could probably skate before they can walk. But complete different kettle of fish over there. So.
So Oxford City Stars are doing pretty good at the moment. Do you think you might get promoted this year, or am I tempting fate?
Promotion's a bit out of touch this year, but we're kind of halfway through a kind of four-year plan where we're looking to be top of the league contenders. We've beaten the top of the league this year, so there's no reason why we can't. It kind of comes down to those top of the league teams have budgets that
you find it tough to compete against.
Yeah, we have managed to take down some of the big dogs, but it is the consistency and having the depth in the team that you can compete every week. You know, so it's a physical sport, you're playing two games a weekend and you get suspensions because of the rules and things like that, so it's really hard to field a good team every week. But we're doing all right so far. We're doing really well.
It's our second consecutive season in this league. And we came off the back of two league wins, didn't we? Two seasons on the trot in the league below. But, I mean, with regards to making the step up to the next league, it's tough because it's all down to rink size, how many people you can get in,
sponsorship.
It's a lot more money involved. It's not just a simple jump up to the English Premier League, which is the one above us. I think this is a nice, comfortable league for the Stars where we are at the moment. And like Joe said, within our plan of what we want to do as a club and a team and with the management and building sponsorship, and this whole Oxfordshire United thing is really good for us where we are. And there's still a lot of room for improvement. So like, we're sitting in fifth spot at the moment. We finished second from the bottom last year. We're doing really, really well. And obviously, if we keep going the way we're going, then the rest of this year and next season will be a real big season for us.
It's important to highlight as well, the leagues in ice hockey aren't really like the leagues in football. and there's not a massive step up in between the two in quality. That, I mean, a lot of our players would handle themselves happily in the league above. It's not the issue. The leagues are so close together that it's generally down to the rink in the area and do they have the budget and the attendance to deal with it.
And the earnings in the sport stop you playing that level. Above us is the English Premier and then you've got the Elite League. So for guys like us, I mean, we hold down a full-time job. We don't earn anything playing. People in the league above, there's quite a few Brits that play in that league, but there's a fair few imports as well, and they're earning good money. And the teams in that league don't necessarily pay the Brits that sort of money where you can afford to be playing two, sometimes three games a week, training three, four times a week. So a lot of the guys tend to have to hold down a full-time job and choose to play in this league purely because of the commitment side of things.
What do you do outside of ice hockey?
I work for a local data analysis company in Headington, just joined there, so that takes up a lot of my time.
I'm a self-employed plasterer, so I'm in the building trade, so hectic.
She breaks.
So on to the game itself. I think quite a lot of people might be put off by the fights that occur in the match. What do you say to people who don't approve of the violence on the rink?
Whenever you speak to people that haven't watched a game of hockey before and they say, oh, there's a lot of fighting involved and all this, I think before anyone can judge ice hockey, I think you have to come and see the complete physicality of the whole sport as a whole. Everyone said, oh, it's really violent, there's a lot of fights. Fights don't just happen for the sake of fighting. Like, there's physical, like Joe said, there's hitting, but body checking. People don't say lacrosse is rough, but I mean, lacrosse is meant to be quite a physical sport as well. But there's a lot of aspects to it, and the fights only really occur if something bad's happened, like a real cheap foul or a real dirty hit on someone, and then that'll escalate later on and go on from things like that. It's not where two teams turn up and square off on the ice five against five and just have a fist fight. It's not down to that, but I'm not going to lie, it does happen. Sometimes brawls happen and there's a few fights going on at one time, but it's not just about two teams turning up and having a fight on the ice. It's a lot more competitive and professional than that.
There's a mental side to all the fighting as well. As in, if you go into a rink and you're losing 3-1, the game's got a bit stagnant. You want to try and it's got a bit dormant, and you want to try and rekindle things effectively. And someone goes and does something like the whole bench. There's a big buzz in the whole building that gets the crowd into the game. It gets everyone really excited. And we have had it before. We've gone straight back out, scored a goal, and you're back in the game. And that is an element.
You kind of just knock the opposition for six.
Yeah. So if you see two people have a fight on the ice, very often they'll go to the point of side and, like, you know, shake hands. There's no,
you have a drink
feelings
in the bar afterwards, yeah, and you're talking.
Some of the best relationships in hockey, you meet anyone else from any other team, you meet them outside of hockey, you're best mates, and you'll be at the pub together, and it's absolutely not that. We'll have a sports drink together.
Yeah.
So it's not what it looks like from the outside.
It's a whole professional side of it. It's grown
into the sport. Mm. There are rules in place to make sure it's safe. You're not allowed to do anything that could really injure someone and get banned for a long time. No one wants to, you know, get banned. Everyone loves playing ice hockey. You have to weigh up the physical side to how high the skill level is to watch people do what they're doing on the ice whilst on ice skates, whilst someone 6'5" is trying to knock them over. It's amazing. And sometimes it just does boil over a little bit.
Yeah.
And the physical side of it is a massive thing for the crowd. They love it. Hearing the sound of someone get, like, skating down the ice, and then you've got someone chasing them and you just bump into each other,
yeah,
and the sound when you hit the boards, and like, you can tell whenever anyone makes a real good hit or some good physical play, like the crowd go mad, and that's when you hear the crowd going crazy, you know you're doing something right. So
yeah, definitely. When games stopped, do you find the music going on and off distracting?
I have a little dance, a little sing sometimes. It's quite nice.
If you look on YouTube, do you know what? It's funny. I was looking on, someone put a thing on Facebook this week, and there's a little kid, a goalie, and there's some kids are on the ice skating around. And this goalie's just on his team bench, and he's just having a little jig, and just having a little dance.
You hear the crowd at times, but throughout the game, you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
So that old cliche they say, don't they? They say boxers say that whenever they're in the ring, you're such in the zone that you can't hear the crowd shouting your name, or you can't hear anything like that. It's kind of like that, but when play stops, that's the only time in hockey that music gets played, or you score a goal or something like that. So you don't really notice it, but you know it's happening.
Yeah.
So there's not really a major distraction. If you're on some sort of break, just going down on the net and someone turned on Boom Shake the Room, I think it might be a different story. But
good excuse to miss.
Yeah.
What positions do you play?
Both play forward.
Forward. Mm. And Did you choose the numbers yourselves?
Yeah, you do from a young age, don't you? And you have it throughout your career. If you move to a team where they have your number,
they kind of know as well. Like, I've played at Chelmsford, you've played at Milton Keynes and Slough and that. And it's crazy. It sounds really weird and maybe a little bit silly to people. Yeah. One of the biggest things, like with you, if you're going to go to a club, the club will almost say, like, oh, we've got number 66 or we've got number 77. It's a big thing. I know it might sound crazy because obviously a lot of teams have the same numbers. I think some like key players, it's with key numbers, it kind of sticks with you throughout.
Also, they retire jerseys as well. Not often, but you know, like Paul Linton here had his jersey and number retired. So that number's not allowed to be used anymore. For instance, a lot of people are more common with Wayne Gretzky in America. He's held some crazy world records for goals scored. His number 99 is globally retired. No one's allowed to.
No one's allowed to wear it, even in these leagues down here. Just out of respect as well. Like, they say it's retired, but no one in their right mind would ever think of pulling on a jersey with number 99 on it.
Because the other team will chase you down. And,
So how did you guys choose your numbers?
I used to play number 7 as a junior and with some of my junior teams, but as you grow up and it becomes more significant, one of my idols was Scott Goff, who played number 7, and Derek Flint, he played number 77 when he was here, and I had the honour of playing alongside both of those for the Stars. So when Derek Flint left the team and moved back to Canada, I kind of took on his 77 from that. So
mine's from Bingo.
Really?
66 pick up sticks.
That's great. Yeah. I never knew that. That's brilliant.
I used to have number 5 when I was younger, and then I had 38 as well. And then when I got into like under 16s, I changed my numbers.
And part of my reason as well is because I always just put number 7 because I was born on the 7th. And then the 7th of July, so it's just the 7th of the 7th, yeah.
Yeah.
See, there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
It's not just a number.
No. do you have any superstitions before you play that you have to do, listen to a bit of music or?
We all listen to music. We have team.
Yeah, we have team
routines.
Music. Yeah, we all go and warm up together before a game, go for a light run or play a bit of football, like one touch and keep you uppy and stuff like that.
I write off my whole Sunday for a game. Like, you wake up, good breakfast, good lunch. You know, pack everything up, get ready. You know, it's a whole day.
I always pack my kit bag the same, religiously, leg pads and shorts.
I don't know if it's necessarily superstition. Like, if I didn't do it that way, I don't think I'd be like, oh, we're going to lose. But it's more routine. I've done it for like 21 years, every weekend, just doing the same thing. Yeah, so it's just
routine. It's nuts you think about. Like, I've got, like, I like to be last on the ice. I like, because I'm captain, I like to tap all my guys onto the ice. I like to be last on the ice. And then after we have a team huddle, and then I have a certain way that routine that I skate, touch the centre spot, and I like to be last into the huddle around the net. And then sort of pull out, and after we've said what we're going to say, and then we have a team shout. So there's a couple of little, like Joe said, it's more routine, but I suppose they are kind of superstitions because you do always think about it as well.
As captain, do you find it difficult to manage all the personalities?
I've been around too long now, I think. Some of these guys that we play with, I've coached as kids, Jake Flory. I've helped out with some of these guys in junior teams. So I've been around too long, I kind of know them all inside out, and they're just a great bunch of guys. It's hard to keep up with all the personalities sometimes, but no, they're just great. Because a lot of the guys are from Oxford, we've kind of all known each other for such a long time now. It's just a good mix. And
main thing with our team, and hockey, I'm guessing hockey in general, but I haven't seen it in any of the teams I've really played for, but with Oxford is everyone on the team would literally jump in front of a puck to stop it going in. Like Dax, for instance, he'll put his face, he's been hit in the face with a bit, it's mental. And you think, what you're doing if you don't get paid, you don't get, you know, you've got to go to work tomorrow, but there's no...
So much heart.
Everyone,
a lot of
in
heart
our team,
our
would
team
do anything for the person next to them, and therefore personalities rise up, but the combination of personalities for some reason works for our team. So
I think that's why we're so successful as a team as well. Like Joe said earlier, with budgets and stuff of leagues, and teams are higher up in the league, they've got players from all over. I mean, there's a guy that played for us at the start of the season called Steve Osmond, and he lives down in Bristol and travels to Kent to play for a team, and we don't do that. We've got a few different faces but they're from local, like Bracknell or Swindon and stuff, but the core of our team is all Oxford grown, and we play it because we care, not just about like the team, the club, is about each other. Everyone just buys in, we just do whatever we can for each other, and that's why I think part of the reason is why we're succeeding at the moment.
Yeah, I think it comes across that you're across as a team. So how can people get involved? Firstly, how can people get on the ice?
Stick and puck is a lot more for kids. Anyone really, I guess, under the age, kind of 21, is more than what's going on a Sunday night before our games. It's a free session. You get skates, stick, gloves, helmet. You get a chance to play with the puck, skate around, a few pointers from a few of the coaches. And you also get free entry to our game afterwards as well. So it's a nice little package to get people onto the ice. But the main thing, I think, is to come and watch it.
Guarantee you'll
find
again.
A way. You'll find a way to get on the ice if you want to get on the ice. If you just want to carry on watching, you'll do that as well. But anyone around the club is happy to answer questions to anyone who wants to start, whether that's someone from on the ice or someone on the supporters' desk. Just ask someone and put you all in touch.
And you've got a special offer for Oxford United season ticket holders.
Yes. We've been working in unison with Oxford United, which is really good. They've been really helpful. We've gone to watch a few of their games, which is good when we get the odd time off. And we do sometimes get some of the players and staff come to watch our games as well.
Last year we had great coverage, didn't we? Like, games were put across the radio and stuff, and there was one, I think, when we played London last year, and I think we had, there's a good five or six of the Oxford United guys that were here whilst it was being broadcast as well, live on the radio, so that was really, really good.
On the 31st of Jan, we've got a game at home on Sunday night at 6:15, and we're letting all kids in for £1. So it's like
brilliant.
Kids for a quid is the promotion on, so hopefully you can all come down and drag your parents along with you and get hooked like everyone else does.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for your time.
That's right.
It's been great talking to you.
Thank you
very much.